Welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. And at Compass Catholic Ministries, we will assist you in getting rid of your debt, no matter how small, no matter how large that debt may be. And it doesn't matter whether you earn a lot of money or a little bit of money. We use biblical principles to teach you how God intends for all of us to be handling money. There's no secrets to what we teach. Everything you need to know is in the Bible. We also have practical applications. These are tools that we ask you to follow in order to rid yourself of debt, to help you manage your budget the best possible way. And the greatest benefit of all this, you get to rid yourself of all your debt, and then you can proceed to live a debt-free life. My name is Steve Holbrook, and joining me are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. And today we would like to discuss the use of financial apps as a way to begin investing. These are smart, easy-to-use tools. So, John, how did you go about selecting this topic for today's discussion?
Recently, we were reading articles on CNN Money and in NerdWallet and The Simple Dollar about using apps to start investing. This is kind of foreign ground for us because we've been investing for the last umpty-ump years, and we haven't used an app to do that. But the more I read through the material, the more I thought that this is a great way for somebody who doesn't know anything about investing to get started. In fact, last night I was reading an article, and I actually sent it to my two grandsons, who are 16 and 17 years old, to kind of encourage them to start saving their money. Because, you know, if you're 16 years old and you can save $100 a month or maybe $300 a quarter or something like that because you've got a nice job at McDonald's and you're getting good hours, just think, you know, $300 a quarter for 50 years at an average of 7% is going to net you $452,000 by 65.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
It really is. I mean, 300 a quarter, while it may be challenging from some people, it's not unrealistic.
And yeah, the earlier they start, the more time they're going to have for that compound interest to keep growing and growing and growing. So it's a great idea.
Yeah, and that was the theme of the article. Time is your friend as long as you start early. And if you don't start until late, you know, if you're 55 and you want to have $450,000, you're going to have to save, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 a month in order to get there.
And what a great message for parents who are listening to encourage their children to save. Let's say they can't even do $300 a quarter, even if they can, their goal, because they're very young and they're not working, even if they can save $100 a quarter or $500 a year.
Yes.
Because they're going to get birthday money, they're going to get Christmas money from the grandparents. Just sock that stuff away.
And that's a great thing to teach kids.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about like someone who's 20, you know, their first job. Don't some financial basics need to be in place before they would start investing, like maybe having a basis for their monthly expenses and understand their monthly budget and, you know, basic budgeting skills and student loan bills and all that kind of stuff before they would start investing?
Well, I think that what you're talking about, Evelyn, is a good thing, but in some ways of thinking, you know, if you do your giving first and you pay yourself first after your giving and all the other stuff that comes out of your taxes, then you really don't need to have a budget yet if you're putting that money into savings. You're not putting it all into savings. And I suppose there are some people out there who might try to do that. But if you focus on just saving a part of what you're making, especially if you're still in high school or in early college, if you could save 30% of what you make in your part-time job and invest that and just leave it there, and you know it's an investment, you're not going to touch it for anything, doesn't matter what the situation is, you're going to appreciate it unbelievably when you're ready to retire.
Now, what about somebody that's a little bit older? They're in their first job, they've graduated from college, they're out on their own, They're, you know, paying student debts. They've got credit cards. Wouldn't they need to have their monthly budget under control first before they started investing?
Yes, absolutely. You know, if you're already in your first job and you're working away and you've got some student debt and you've probably got a credit card and that kind of stuff, yes, you need to have a budget. You need to have an emergency fund. That should be one of the first things you do, is to create an emergency fund. And, you know, if you're a high school student, if you create an emergency fund that's maybe $250 or $500 to start with, that's a great place to start, and you save it for emergencies. And then the rest of that money can go towards the other things that, you know, I don't know if, when I was in high school, I had to buy my own clothes. So I would spend some of that money on clothes and spend money for entertainment or going to the prom or, you know, those kinds of things, eating out with the friends.
But Evelyn, a point you made about having a monthly expense budget, it's amazing how many people that Audrey and I meet, doesn't matter whether in their 30s, 50s, and 60s, when you ask, how much money do you need to live every month? And they look at you with that glare. And I've heard you say this before. They can tell you how much the rent or the mortgage is or the utility bills and the grocery bill, but they couldn't tell you how much they spent on entertainment, eating out, just miscellaneous stuff.
It just goes out the window as soon as it comes in, doesn't it?
No, I mean, that's the big thing when somebody says we want to. I'll give you an example. I had a cousin in town. She and her husband are 52 years old. They want to retire at the age of 62. They made a commitment this year. They've always been savers, but they made a commitment this year to live on one salary and pocket the rest and save it for the next 10 years. And she had it down based on an average interest, how much they would have in 10 years. They are determined to live on one of their salaries for the rest, for the next 10 years.
Do they know how much it's going to take them to live once that 10 years is up and they retire? Because that's the key. Yeah, so, because if you don't have that, then, I mean, that kind of drives how much money you need to retire.
Yeah.
I'm sure you were telling her about Compass Catholic Ministries.
Yeah, earlier in the day, she said, so what you're doing now that you're retired? So I told her about the radio show and the podcast that we do and blah, blah, blah.
But see, I think that's a great entree into why people need to invest, is because of their goals. I mean, your cousin had a great goal to retire early. Maybe if in your younger years you want to buy a house or you want to start your own business, you might want to buy a car if you're in high school. Maybe you're looking to go to graduate school. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why you want to start investing or saving. And if you have a goal that you're really serious about, it makes it much easier to stay focused.
Yeah, the one thing she talked about is they had 2 years ago thought about buying another house, but they realized they're so close to having this one paid off, they don't want to get anchored down with house payments.
Good for them.
Especially after they retire.
Good for them.
You know, we did something similar to that when we reached about 48 or 50. We'd been saving and we were maxing out everything we could do with our employers' 401ks and stuff like that. And we just kind of doubled down and basically only lived on one income. And we saved a tremendous amount of money over the next 6 or 8 years that really allowed us to retire at 58. People can do that. People come to me and say, well, I'm already 38 or 40 years old. What am I going to be able to do?
Start now.
That's right. We were 38 years old when we took that first Bible study. And we had, I added it up the other day, and I'd never done that before, but counting all the money we lost and all the money we spent, et cetera, we were in the hole $460,000.
Wow.
Okay.
Now, somebody listening will say, oh, I can never make that up, but you guys are living proof it can be done.
It was the mortgage, it was two car payments, it was the credit card debt, it was the lost income and the spent savings
and all the IRAs that
we really didn't owe $460,000. We just had wasted that much money, I guess.
But a combination, it can be done.
And so in 20 years we went, at age 38, it took us 20 years to the point where we were able to retire. Now, we were unbelievably blessed. There's no question about that. And I think that God rewards our faithfulness. And one of the biggest rewards we got was a hugely stronger marriage, because we were working together and we were being faithful with what we were doing.
And I don't think we want anybody to get the idea that God gave us money.
No.
God put us in opportunities where we're able to save a lot of money, and we were faithful to that.
And we were able to use our talents.
Yes.
You know,
to maximize
what
we
that.
Could earn.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I want to go back to something you said earlier, John, when you said maxing out our 401k, because if your employer offers one, you really should be taking advantage of that before you do any kind of long-term investing.
Well, that's right. Especially if they're giving you a matching amount. You know, it doesn't matter how much the match is. Guess what? That's free money. Maybe it's 50 cents on the dollar. Maybe it's dollar for dollar to X amount or whatever it is. That's free money. And you should be all in at least to be able to get 100% of that free money. And then you can do other things.
So let's dive into these apps. You know, one of the things that we looked at when we were looking at these different apps is different types of combinations that are available on the apps. And the first one that I really looked into, and I think you use this one, Steve, is micro savings, where if you spend X amount of dollars on your credit card rounds it up to the next whole dollar amount mm-hmm. and takes that difference and puts it into your savings account.
Mm-hmm.
So you use that with a credit card or your debit card?
With the credit card.
And it's
what's your experience been with that?
So far, so good. I mean, we didn't have high expectations, but it is as advertised. So they do round up. Yes.
So it's like the modern version of taking the change out of your pocket
exactly,
and putting it in the piggy bank.
Account. Yes.
So when you get your credit card bill at the end of the month, it's pretty much a round number.
Round number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a little different from having the bank round up every check that you write or something like that. We're not talking about something like that because you don't have a way of keeping track of that.
Right, exactly.
So this is a good way of being able to track it and increase your funds. We used to, when we were spending money, we don't do that anymore. At least I don't. But we would get probably close to $600 a year in change. So you are probably seeing that kind of a hit on your credit card.
I'll let you know once we cross that first year.
Okay.
Well, and I think the advantage of that is that typically those types of savings accounts have no minimum initial deposits or
right.
no funding requirements. So it's real easy for somebody to start one without having a bunch of fees hit them or a bunch of requirements that they can't meet. So the idea behind the micro savings is to give new savers or small savers every opportunity to accumulate some money.
See, I think the advantage too for people that find it difficult to save, this kind of helps them. It gives them that little nudge.
Yeah,
and I think that's a great way. And if you get $400 or $600 at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't really done anything, you haven't made a conscious effort other than to say, yeah, go ahead and round up. Wow. You know, it's like
free
pennies
money.
From heaven.
And that's what we're all about here on Manage Your Money God's Way, pennies from heaven.
You're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible tells us are the best ways, the only ways to handle money. We teach these biblical principles in our 9-week small group study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Now, you can preview the topics that are discussed over the 9 weeks. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, click on Books and Studies. Well, today we're discussing the use of apps as a great way to start investing, and we have gone through a number already. So, Evelyn, what are some of the other types of investment apps?
So the second type of investment app that we found is a robo-advisor. And these are investment managers for new and small investors. And the methodology is based on algorithms designed by each robo-advisor. Different companies have different algorithms. And it's based on a questionnaire you complete, such as your age and your goals, your risk tolerance, the amount you're investing initially, and then how much you're going to contribute regularly. So from that, they create a portfolio for you.
Typically, it's a very low minimum initial deposit. And sometimes you don't have to make an initial deposit at all, but typically it might be like $5 or maybe as much as $25, but that's on the high side. And then they base the fees on the percentage of your account balance, and that might run between 0.15% and 0.5%, so a half a percent per year, which is really inexpensive, because if you're using a typical fee-based financial planner, they're going to charge you between 1 and 1.25 to 1.5% of the value of your account. You know, that's a pretty good deal.
Well, and the less you have to pay in fees, the more you can keep in your account. So that's a good idea.
Yep, yep. And a third type of investment app is online trading. That gives you the ability to go online and do trading. And the advantage here is if you already have some sense of what you want to do, you can go online and make trades, and it won't cost you an arm and a leg to make a trade. I think most of these costs are typically less than $10, and probably in the most part like $7.50 or somewhere in that range. And they're pretty user-friendly. And anyone with a Wi-Fi and a bank account can start playing the stock market from the comfort of their phone.
Now, that sounds dangerous to me, playing the stock market. In this type of environment, you have to know what you're doing, because you're actually buying and selling your own stocks. Nobody's investing it for you or giving you advice, right?
Right. So what you're saying is this does not take the place of seeking counsel.
No, you really need to know what you're doing.
Because any of this, you go online and do it, you're flying at the seat of your pants. If you're going to play the stock market, do your homework.
Which really kind of brings us to the fourth type of app, which is the one that deals with information about investing. That would be a good place to look for counsel, although I don't think it actually will give you godly counsel, but at least it'll give you information about what kind of investments and what's going on in the market and what the high stocks and low stocks are.
So these are things like Yahoo, Finance, CNBC, Bloomberg, SoundMind Investing, Benzinga. They're providing information through newsletters and websites. They give you access to quotations and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But basically, they're an information-only service.
So right? they're not giving you recommendations. They're just giving you information.
Yeah, and they may give you some recommendations mm-hmm. based on certain criteria that they're outlining.
Because what my biggest fear is people see these stories online and they think that stock X is the hottest thing out there. They jump on the bandwagon, not knowing that stock X has already reached its peak and may be coming down in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, to be doing something like what we talked about just previously, where you're doing online trading, you have to really know what you're doing and be involved. And so I think that a person who's an infant in stock market kind of stuff and investing and saving would be much better off with something like the app Stash. And there's another app that we'll talk about in a minute. It's called Acorns. But Stash is an app that you can do right on your phone. It's pretty cool, actually. I spent some time kind of looking through
it. It was cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. The minimum investment is $5, and the cost is free for the first month. And then it's $1 per month up to having a value of $5,000 in your account.
Okay.
And once you get over $5,000, the fee is only 0.25% per year.
Oh, extremely affordable.
Yes, yes. And they give you a promo of $5 for joining. So you get your first investment back, basically, because they're going to give you $5 to join up.
So you doubled your money from the beginning, right?
Exactly.
If you just invest $5, always a good thing to do.
Now, is there information on this app as far as articles to read?
Yes, that's a great thing.
That was really interesting to me.
Yeah. I mean, again, you go through setting up a profile, and they get your age and how much you think you're going to invest and what your risk criteria are, or what you can withstand as far as risk. And then they, again, use an algorithm, and Stash is different from Acorn, but they have similar capabilities of handling your investment and where it goes. And so you're not really buying a stock as such. And actually, with Stash, you're buying electronically traded funds, ETFs. A stock of Apple, for example, maybe is $100 a share or something like that. Mm-hmm. So you might own 15 cents of Apple stock. But it's a great way to get started, low amounts, and you know, it's like anything else. It's not risk-free.
I like the $5 when you join.
Yeah.
So you got an account.
Well, the thing that really impressed me about the site was that there were a lot of videos on there that were just really simple, that talked to you about investing and the stock market, and it was both personal and global finances. So it was a great learning tool for somebody that's just starting out. And then the other thing I thought was really cool is that there was a sliding scale on one of the pages that said, here's how old I am and here's how much I want to invest. And it would take it out and show you how much you would have in 30 or 40 or 50 years.
And you could pick the rate of return that you would average up to a maximum of 7%, which is what the stock market mm-hmm. has averaged for the last 100 years.
Yeah.
So it really gave you a lot of incentive to continue investing once you got started. And there was a lot of training type videos and information. I didn't have time to listen to all the videos and stuff. It was really, I thought, well done. And then the other one that we looked at was called Acorns. And it's another great app for first-time investors. It's similar in nature to Stash. The money is put into a diversified portfolio of index funds. And it first month is free again, and then it's $1 a month up to $5,000 and 0.25% over $5,000. So the costs are essentially the same. And here's the kicker. If you're under 24 years of age and you're in college, it's free. Again, just like Stash, there's a $5 promo fee for just joining. And the other thing that Acorns does that's a little bit different is it automatically rounds up to make savings and investment a little bit easier. And, you know, you're going to be surprised by how quickly those pennies really accumulate.
Now, one of the other sites that I found that I thought was really interesting is called Stock Market Simulator. And before jumping in and actually using your own hard-earned money, maybe you want to use a tool that lets you play the stock market without actually investing any money. So it's an app, and you'll be able to play a simulated version of the real stock market and invest virtual money without taking any risks with your real money. So I thought that was a good game
for
high school or young college kids.
And the cool thing is you get $10,000 to start with.
No. $10,000 virtual dollars.
Yeah. Everybody was reaching for their phone at that point.
So the virtual stock market gets updated every 15 to 20 minutes behind what the typical U.S. market does. And so you can really track your investments, your game investments in real time. And you can't use it, obviously, as a long-term investment tool or, you know, strategy, decision-making tool. But it's a great way for somebody who doesn't really know the stock market to kind of get started in it and kind of learn a little bit about ins and outs. And in the end, it doesn't cost them any money whatsoever.
And I think the stock market can be very complicated for people that don't know anything about it. So this is a good way, like you said, John, to get your feet wet and just kind of understand what happens in different situations.
I think stock market people use it to get rich quick. I really do. They see the hottest stock market, the hottest stock. They put money in expecting to be not millionaires the next day, but have a lot more money in the bank than they did 3 days ago.
Thousandaires.
Yeah, thousandaires.
I think the mistake most people make with the stock market is they panic when the prices are going down and jump in when the prices are going up, which is the opposite of what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Sell high, buy low.
When the market's low, those stocks are on sale. You should buy.
So we talked about four or five different types of apps that are out there. How do you decide which one is the right one for you to use? How do you find a comparison between these and figure out what you want to do for your own personal finances?
I think, Evelyn, that's going to change with every individual person. So what you want to do is learn the basics of investing in order to compare apps and be able to figure out which one best suits your requirements. And all these platforms aren't equal. We've kind of identified some of the differences in those as we went along today. But understand their fee structures and you know, some charge fees, some don't. Find out what the minimums are and that type of thing. And then what types of investment accounts do they have available? Is it banking or retirement or custodial? Or, you know, just what are they doing and how does that match what you want to have happen?
And your goals we talked about in the beginning, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Understand what it takes to withdraw your money. That's an important thing. They take your money real fast. How fast can you get it back? And, you know, from a typical investment standpoint, you can get your money in 1 to 2 days. And most of the apps that we looked at worked exactly in the same fashion. You could get your money after 1 to 2 days. You could get it in a check or they could transfer it electronically to your bank. But you need to do your homework, okay? Make sure that you understand these tools. Make sure they're easy for you to learn and to use. And then you can find out what types of investment that, you know, just makes you feel the most comfortable. And I think that's an important part.
You know, and the important thing too, John, is to be realistic, because investing is a long-term goal and you're not going to make a killing in the short term. So be prepared to invest in the long term. And the earlier you start, the more you learn, the more you're going to build serious skills that you can use across other areas of your life.
And I think that early start is one of the key things here. Use the time value of money for you, not against you.
There was a lot of information that we tossed your way today, but you are in luck because we have provided you with notes from today's show available at compasscatholic.org. Just scroll down and click on podcast summary to catch all those highlights. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, we post a brand new podcast each and every Wednesday morning. Simply go to compasscatholic.org. Again, this is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we are from Compass Catholic Ministries.